Martin was the senior vice president of a rapidly growing communication hardware company. I was meeting with him and he leaned back in his chair and he blew a heavy sigh past his mustache. He said, "David, I'm hoping you can help me. I am so frustrated. Three of my direct reports are behind on projects. I walked through our contact center and customer service was a mess, even though we invested all that time in training. Our quality initiative, it's stuck in neutral and it seems like we just can't get anything done."
Hey, it's David, and you're listening to Leadership Without Losing Your Soul, your source for practical leadership inspiration, tools, and strategies you can use to achieve transformational results without sacrificing your humanity or your mind in the process.
Today is an exciting day at Let's Grow Leaders headquarters. We are celebrating the submission of the manuscript for our next book. HarperCollins Leadership is publishing Courageous Cultures: How to Build Teams of Micro-Innovators, Problem Solvers, and Customer Advocates. And that will be coming in 2020. But if you're listening to this in real time, today, November 1st, is the day that we submitted the manuscript. So that is fun, and we're excited to be sharing all of those tools with you. And in future episodes, we'll certainly be diving into some of those as well. Well, let's get on to talking with Martin a little bit and looking at what's going on with him, what's happening there. Well, as we work with thousands of leaders around the world and watch them start using the leadership and management strategies we share with you, this is a common theme when it comes to who succeeds over time. Because Martin, he's well-versed in leadership and management. He knows how to mind the MIT, the most important thing, to set clear shared expectations. He's equipped everyone to know how to succeed. He knows how to reinforce what success looks like and to inspire, to celebrate, to encourage, and so on. But when it comes to changing a culture or transforming results or seeing through the processes that you start, leadership isn't just about starting. It's not just about good intentions. It's about finishing. And it is a very, very common problem to see leaders and managers fail to finish. So what does that look like? Well, it's sadly, you can see this quite often. Organizations are littered with leaders who start but never finish. It's the leader who says that the meeting starts at 9, but when someone's late, they don't say anything. It's a manager who declares that the customer call must begin with empathy, confidence, and connection, but he only said it for 2 weeks and he never got back to it. It's a team leader who facilitates a great meeting, helps the team dig deep to make tough commitments, but doesn't follow through to see that it happened. The manager has a brilliant performance coaching conversation with an employee who needs to improve in one key area, but 3 months later, she's never gone back and reviewed to see if the desired new behavior is happening. It's the team leader who declares a new era of entrepreneurial teamwork, but never asks for a single new idea, or the manager who delegates a project, but never gets it back. And it doesn't take many of those failed commitments before your team loses faith in your ability to make change happen. And what's even worse is that you start to lose faith in yourself. But when you set an intention and you follow through, your confidence increases. Your team knows they can believe you, that they can trust you and rely on you, and you build credibility. So finishing is a choice. It doesn't happen by chance. In fact, the chances are it won't happen at all unless you're real intentional about it. So here's the deal. Life is busy. You've got more to do than you have time to do it. Your plan is going to get interrupted, and your interruptions are going to get interrupted. So if you don't have an intentional, focused way to finish what you start, it's just not going to happen. Effective leaders consistently choose to finish, but they don't leave it to chance or a heroic act of willpower. If you have to spend energy trying to remember everything you need to finish, you'll never do it. There's just too much going on, and your brain has a limited energy to spend. Just thinking about every open loop you've got going can be exhausting. Fortunately, there is a better way. I call it schedule the finish. The moment that you set an intention, make an appointment with yourself or with other people where you will complete the intention or take the next step. The key here is when. What moment in time will you follow up, follow through, and finish? When you have a performance conversation, maybe you're using the Inspire model, the final step, E, is the enforced step. This is scheduling the finish. You schedule a brief meeting to review their desired behavior. So for example, you would say, hey, that sounds good. Let's meet at 10 next Tuesday to see how this is going and if you have any questions. When you delegate, schedule a time where the other person will meet with you in person or by video to return the project back to you and then answer questions and discuss next steps. That final step, that's scheduling the finish. You're baking the accountability and the finish into the initial conversation. Same thing with meetings. When you lead a meeting and you conclude the meeting by asking who will do what, by when, and how will we know, that final how will we know, that's a scheduled commitment to the team. So for example, we're all going to have our data to Linda by Friday at 4. Linda will send us the new process by Wednesday at 3. Everyone puts those times on their calendar. So if Friday at 4 comes along and Linda doesn't have data from Bob, she calls him. If 3 p.m. Wednesday comes and the team doesn't have the new process, they'll call Linda. The key in all of these examples here is that you've got to make an appointment. There's a difference between a to-do item and scheduled time on your calendar, particularly when that time is scheduled with another person. The likelihood that you're both going to keep your commitment goes way up. Now, some items don't naturally fit in a calendar appointment, like you're rolling out a new process to improve on-time delivery and quality. Well, you can still make appointments with yourself to reinforce the initiative. You know, you're going to communicate at least 5 times through 5 different channels. And then when are you going to review performance? The key here is that whenever you create an expectation, especially new ones, whether that's new training or a new process, you've got to follow through on behavior quickly. When people get the behavior right, celebrate it, acknowledge it, and reinforce that this is what people like us do. When it doesn't happen, have a quick inspire conversation and redirect people back to the new way of doing things. And if there are problems that prevent people from doing what's needed, now you know and you're able to solve them quickly and visibly.
Hey, this is Nora, and I have a question.
Hi, David. My name is Jamie, and I'm calling in from Maine. My question is about...
Hey, David. This is Julian from Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia.
This is John from Colorado Springs.
This is Johan White from Kingston. I have a question for you.
This is Cynthia from Baltimore.
Hi, David. This is Susan from New Jersey, and my question is...
Hi, David. This is Dean from Denver.
I would love your advice on this.
It's time to answer a question from a listener, and... if you've been listening for a while, you know that I love to answer questions, and I would love to answer your leadership or management related question. You can ask a question about any leadership or management topic, or specifically about something that you've heard in a previous episode. You can give me your question one of two ways. You can email it to me at david.dye@letsgrowleaders.com, or you can go to leadershipwithoutlosingyoursoul.com. the website for this podcast, and then click the big orange button you'll see, and you can record your question there. Tell us who you are, where you're from, what your question is, and we will use that in a future episode. Our question today actually comes from a conversation I had with a listener who I was able to meet for coffee in person. His name is Travis. And Travis had a question regarding the imposter syndrome episode 2 episodes ago. And specifically, he was talking about he wants to be more influential, and he's concerned that people don't believe in him. So it's not even necessarily that he doesn't believe in himself. He is pretty confident about his ideas and about the direction that he sees for his team and the ability to make change. But he's concerned about whether or not other people believe in him or see it in him. And so what do you do in that kind of circumstance? And that's a great question. I think most of us can relate there. There are a couple of ways to address this. One is start small. One mistake that people often make when they're trying to build their influence and leadership is that they reach too far. They try to influence everyone at the same time. And you're much more effective to find one person, influence them, create that connection, give them that vision. If you're not in a leadership role already, start with one person. Start with two. Start with your immediate team, but start with the people around you and build success that way. And that's the case whether you are trying to influence people with your thoughts and be a thought leader in the marketplace, or you're trying to be more influential at work. So start with one or two people and build from there. Now, if you've been doing that for a while and you're in an organization that doesn't seem to be seeing what you're seeing in yourself, you've got a couple of options. First is have an honest conversation about it. Talk with your supervisor or your boss's boss, whoever the right person is, or if there's a particular place that you want to go in that company, and ask the question, say, listen, in my career, I would like to do something like this, the kind of role that you aspire to, and ask them, I'm curious from your perspective, what skills or competencies do I need to bring to the table in order to be considered for that role? And if I have those, I would like to be considered for that role the next time it's appropriate. Sometimes it's just a matter of throwing your hat in the ring. If you've been there a while, people may still see you as the person you were when you started. This is very, very common. You know, we all have this dynamic. My nephew just turned 18, and I'm still scratching my head going, how did little guy turn 18? Well, he's not the little guy anymore. He's an 18-year-old young man. But it's still in my memory that he is my young nephew who used to play with. That's normal. So they may be still seeing you the way that you were when you started, and you've got to break that mold. And one of the ways to do that is just have the conversation. Hey, I'm interested in this. What are the skills, competencies I need? I'd like to throw my hat in the ring. Now, in some organizations, if the leadership doesn't see you that way, they are not going to see you that way. They can't provide a concrete answer about the skills or competencies you need, and they're just not willing to go there. Then you might have to look elsewhere if that is truly important to you. But you don't want to do that, and people jump ship way too early, in my experience. When you approach the conversation from a place of confident humility, I really want to do this, and I'm humble enough to know that there are things that I still need to learn or potentially be able to do in order to do it, you'll likely get real answers. And if people say it's a matter of experience, and you know, and it sounds like code for why I need more time, say, okay, great. What are the specific experiences? What are the range of things that I should be keeping my eyes and ears open for to ensure that I am getting what I need to be able to do that? When you assertively ask those questions, it will help qualify you in people's minds as somebody who's serious about their leadership. And then the key here is you've got to do the follow-up. Actually follow through on that intention, demonstrate the work, demonstrate the learning, and check in on those conversations every 6 to 8 months and just see how you're doing. Look for those opportunities, and when you have them, get those folks who you had the initial conversations with to weigh in on, are you getting what you need there? I appreciated Travis asking that question, and I hope that there was something helpful in that answer for you. I will look forward to answering your question in a future episode. Finishing isn't flashy, but it's a leadership skill with a huge payoff. So in Martin's case, he didn't need to read another leadership book or learn some new strategy. The only thing he was missing was to finish what he started. So finish. Schedule that follow-through. Don't leave it to chance. Don't leave it to your to-do list. Schedule the finish. And be the leader you'd want your boss to be.
My dad taught me a lot, including how easy it is to forget to cancel things. So I downloaded Experian, my BFF, big financial friend. Experian could help me cancel my unused subscriptions and lower my bills, saving me hundreds a year. Get started with the Experian app today. Your big financial friend's here to help you save smarter. Results will vary. Not all bills or subscriptions eligible. Savings not guaranteed. $631 a year. Average savings with one plus negotiations and one plus cancellations. Paid membership with connected payment account required. See Experian.com for details. Experian.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.